Think about how you want to feel throughout the year. Do you want to feel, peaceful? Do you want to feel content? Do you want to feel revved up and energized? Do you want to feel calm? And whatever that feeling is, your goal should align with that feeling. Everything that you do, everything that you plan, regardless of how you decide to plan, should really tie back to making sure that you feel the way you want to feel, because ultimately that's what's going to help us manage our time better, right? Is if we feel really good about how we're spending our time.
Welcome to the Secrets of Supermom Show, where we explore how successful, busy moms battle overwhelm, beat burnout, and stay happy in the process. I'm your host, Lori Oberbreckling, wife, mom of four, corporate executive, photographer, and author of the book Secrets of Supermom, how extraordinary moms succeed at work and home, and how you can too. Hey, hey, friend, welcome to episode number 163 of the Secrets of Supermom Show. It's Lori here. Hello. And I am so glad you are following along with my favorite series of the year. If today's your first listen, we started the series back December 28th and all the way through January 4th, we have a new guest every single day sharing with us how to plan your best year ever. So over the 8 days, we hear from 8 different experts on time management, productivity, planning, goal setting, and simply being a supermom. And they're sharing how they personally plan their best year ever. I know you're going to be inspired. You're going to be motivated. You are going to be ready to plan your best year ever. And if you missed those first few episodes, you can head back. So if you go to secretsofsupermom.com/158, that's episode 158. That's our very first episode. You can start there and you can come all the way through to today, which is episode 163. And you just do backslash or /158/159/160, or head to your podcast player and you can download everything right there in the app. So I cannot wait to hear what you think about it. I am absolutely loving these episodes. And today, Laura Davis joins us. She is sharing how to break down goals into the sum of their parts and why her planning strategy does not include planning for the entire year, which I know a lot of you are going to love because I know a lot of you have said, I'm not ready to plan for the year, or I don't know what I want for all of 2024. Listen in because you're going to love what Laura does. Friends, if you love this episode and the series, I would love for you to share with a friend. We need more moms out there hitting big, audacious goals. I'm so excited to bring back Laura to the show. Y'all, before we dive into the show, I have a special treat for you. After this amazing podcast series ends, I have a mega workshop for you on January 7th. It is called, you guessed it, How to Plan Your Best Year Ever, and it walks you through a step-by-step plan combining tried and true methods with some of the strategies from our brilliant guests to plan your very best year. You can grab your seat right now at www.secretsofsupermom.com/plan. This workshop is absolutely for you if you want to start saying no to things that don't light you up this year. You want to feel more organized and less overwhelmed in 2024. You want more time for you. You want to set a big goal and actually reach it. You want to better manage your time and your energy. You want to live this year feeling peace and happiness, ready for even bigger things. Let's make 2024 the year you find a purpose, create a plan, and crush it. I cannot wait to see you there. Let's get on with the show. Hey, hey, friends, welcome to the show. I'm so excited that Laura is back with me. Welcome, Laura.
Hello, hello. I'm excited to be here.
Yes, I, you know, am so excited about this series, right? Every time I talk to y'all and we are chatting beforehand, I let them know how excited I am because this is just magical, right? I have been taking action after every call, which so I know that the listeners are going to take action after every call. It's just, oh, this is such an amazing way to start the year. So Laura, I would love, if anybody didn't hear our previous episode and is fresh to you, I would love you just tell us a little bit about you and your family and why you do what you do.
Yeah, sure. I would love to. So I'm Laura Davis. I am the creator and founder and CEO of Time Management Academy, which is an online course that helps working moms create a realistic system to manage their time without feeling overwhelmed. And so this was really born out of probably about just over 7 years ago. My husband and I were going through IVF. And if anybody has ever struggled with infertility or going through that type of treatment, you know that it basically becomes a second job. And while I was doing that, I also had a full-time career. I was climbing the corporate ladder very aggressively. I had a stepdaughter, my husband, that just a regular life that I needed to live as well. And so I realized I needed to get really good at managing my time. I also realized that nobody ever teaches women how to manage their time, right? And so I started to dig into the science of it and I started to look at studies and look at research. And I realized that a lot of that research was created and done by men for men and on men. And so I started looking at the science and I applied it to my life and made tweaks based on what I needed as a woman and as a stepmom at the time and as a woman going through infertility. And we successfully went through infertility. We had our daughter. So then I went into pregnancy and then, new motherhood. And all throughout that time, I was tweaking and applying principles that started to become the foundation of what Time Management Academy is. And also during that process, I had friends and family members who would ask for help and tips and started, unofficially coaching them and helping them strategize their time management system and their approach. And it just all happened really organically. So about just under 2 years ago, went official with Time Management Academy, built that and launched that. Really excited to have that as an official offering and just be able to apply true science behind time management and productivity, but in a way that works for women.
Yeah, I love that. I love it so much. I feel like we are so aligned. And if you did listen to the previous episode, we were talking about how to save time and be efficient and not lose your mind during the holidays, right? And so now we are going to switch gears, and instead of talking about the holidays, which we just, are wrapping up, we are talking about the new year and planning your best year ever. And so I just, Laura, think you are the perfect person to come on and tell us about, with knowing how, how important time management is, how important being efficient is, how important, boundaries and all those other things are. You're just going to be, I know, the best to share with us how to plan your best year ever. So I am going to
Oh,
start
thank
very
you.
broadly. Yes, I am going to start with just, we're planning our best year ever. Here we are, beginning of the year. So excited. Where do we start?
Yeah, so I would say the number one place to start is probably not what you think I'm going to say, right? Because a lot of people, when they think about planning something, they immediately sit down and open up a calendar. I actually want people to think about how you want to feel the next year. So, how do you want to feel before you ever think about what goals you want to go after or what you want to accomplish or what you want to produce for the year? Think about how you want to feel throughout the year. Do you want to feel, peaceful? Do you want to feel content? Do you want to feel revved up and energized? Do you want to feel calm? And whatever that feeling is, your goal should align with that feeling. Everything that you do, everything that you plan, regardless of how you decide to plan, should really tie back to making sure that you feel the way you want to feel, because ultimately that's what's going to help us manage our time better, right? Is if we feel really good about how we're spending our time.
Yeah, I love that. As I am, so we're recording this in December, but a little earlier, right, before this is coming out. So I haven't yet chosen my word for the year, and I always choose a word for the year. And I've been thinking very much that mine needs to be a feeling this year. So it hasn't always been a feeling, right? It's been words like choice and words like jump and action things. And I have been thinking very much that it this year, I think it needs to be a feeling. And I'm not set on it. I'm still brainstorming, but I think that that is great advice because we can then allow that feeling to guide us, right? Because if I say I want to feel peaceful this year, and then at the same time, my goal is to read 100 books and run a marathon and right, get a promotion and start a business and write a book and write, like, whoa, is that really in line with peaceful? Maybe, but probably not, right?
Exactly. And just like, this year, my word was peaceful. I wanted to feel peaceful throughout the entire year. I wanted that sense of calm and centeredness. And so I structured my business like that. So I didn't take a step back, but I definitely wasn't in build mode. I was in let's serve the people that are here to serve. And same thing with my corporate job, very much let's serve the clients in my job that I have. And let's focus on how can I find that inner peace? What can I do to find that peace? And so just a couple of concrete examples of how I executed that. I started back with horseback riding this year because I knew that being at a barn was a place that I felt very peaceful. I felt at peace. And then I also started really strategically and intentionally thinking through the time that I wanted to spend with my daughter and my husband. So it wasn't, for me, it wasn't about the quantity of the time I was spending with them. It was about how can I make it high quality time with them? And I implemented things to go along with that. And so those were some really concrete ways that you can tie your goals into making sure that that's how you want to feel. So I've had a very peaceful year. 2024, it's going to be a little more high energy for me. In 2024, I really think I'm like you, I've been kind of mulling over what word I want to use. And I think in 2024, now this is going to be published, so it's out there, but I think my feeling for 2024 is going to be accomplished. I think that's the feeling for next year.
I like it. Okay. Yeah. It's so fun that you have one picked. I feel like every time I have these interviews, I have more ideas and I write more things down and I'm like, ooh, do I want that? Right. How do I want to feel? What do I want to feel? I want to ask you, do you feel like, you kind of go through waves, right? You had this peaceful year and now you're ready to be a little more pedal to the metal and have this accomplished year, and 2025 might be to another year of calm or something like that. Do you mm-hmm. feel that? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It definitely is cyclical, and you have to, something that I firmly believe is you have to accept your reality, right? So this year I started a brand new corporate job. My daughter is in VPK. So she's at that like she just turned five. So very emotionally demanding part of motherhood. I would not have been able to accomplish feeling peaceful with those two main factors if I had tried to go, pedal to the floor and tried to start additional aspects of my business or try to take on, 50 new clients it just wouldn't have been realistic. And so you have to really look at where am I in life? Am I in a place that I can push it a little bit more and have that growth? Or do I need to practice being content and have a little bit of a slower year?
Yeah. Understanding those cyclical seasons and deciding what kind of year that you can have based on where you're at. I think that so often we don't do that, right? We just write down, we want to lose 20 pounds and we want to read 10 books and we just want to do these things. And some years are not for that. And some years absolutely are, right? Some years are meant to be the intense years and maybe the exciting years. And some years are meant to be those rest years and those times where we maybe just get to enjoy all the amazing things that we've done and we've put in place, right? Sometimes you might have started a business and now you're sort of in management mode and to get to enjoy the freedom instead of just to go pedal to the metal all the time.
Yep, exactly. Exactly.
I love it. Okay. So once we have sort of taken a little step back and said, how do I really want to feel this year? What is, what is this overshadowing feeling that I'd like to be able to come back to? What's next?
So next, I like to plan my years in a couple of different steps, right? So my very first step after I figure out how I want to feel for the year, I block off anywhere between 3 to 5 blocks of time in the months of October, November, and December. So I do not wait until December 31st to try to figure out my plan for the next year. I really try to do it over the entire last quarter of the year. And during those sessions, I do them alone to start. So during those sessions, I will look at what do I want my goals to be in business? What do I want my goals to be at my corporate job? What do I want them to be personally? What do I want them to be, socially or health-wise? whatever some of those priorities are for me, I will start to say, what do I want to accomplish by the end of next year? And once I look at that from an annual perspective of what do I want to accomplish, the only other thing that I do on an annual basis is I plug in the major commitments, right? So I look at, where am I traveling for work this year that I know of so far? What birthdays do I need to be prepared for? What holidays do I need to be prepared for? What family vacations do I think I need to be prepared for? All of those things. So for example, my daughter's starting kindergarten next year. I know that those 2 weeks before school starts, I pretty much need to be blank. I need those times to be blank. So I will go ahead and block that time off on my calendar. I will go ahead and block off time for, you know, the holiday season next year in Q4. I will go ahead and start looking at that. I will do all of those things for throughout the year. But that's really the only two things that I do from an annual basis. Everything after that, I like to break down on a quarterly, monthly, and even weekly basis, because, you know, our brains, if we look at a giant iceberg and we say, you need to carve this into a swan, our brain is going to say, it can't, that is impossible. We cannot achieve that insane goal, right? But if you break it down and you say, okay, this week I need to chip off 3 feet of ice. This week I need to chip off another 2 feet. 8 weeks from now, I need to work on the swan's wings. I'm not an ice carver, so I don't really know where this analogy came from, but we're just going to go with that. I don't actually know the steps to carve an ice swan. If anybody does, I'd love to know.
Let us know.
But we're going to make this up. So I just think that you should, you know, break things down into bite-sized pieces, because then your brain feels safe in actually going after that goal.
Yeah, I think that that makes total sense. I do love that you plan your vacation time all the way through the end of the year. I just finished that, where we went through the entire year, blocked it off, right? Like, we both work corporate jobs, so there are PTO requests to make, and, right, you know, family to talk to if you have children that need to be watched, if you're taking an adult trip, all of those things. And I'm very excited about the vacations, the time off, all of that stuff that's coming throughout the year. And I think that there's a lot of power in being excited for those things, even if they're not until November, right? Or even if they're not until the end of the year. I think there's a lot of power in that. And it has made me intentional about taking time off, because both because I, in the past, have maybe not been as intentional, and then you're sort of left with this bucket of PTO that you might lose if you're a corporate employee, or left with burnout that you, you know, that you didn't really want if you are not that, but you haven't taken that time. And I think it's just a good way to say, I get to have downtime, and I get to have work time and busy time and crazy time and all the time in between.
Yeah. And I love what you were saying about, you know, planning the vacation so that you can take care of childcare if you need to, or, you know, submit PTO and that kind of thing. And I think that this is such a good takeaway for anyone listening right now, is that if you know right now that next October, you and your husband or you and your spouse want to take a trip somewhere, and you know that you're going to need childcare, block time off in July or August to figure out that childcare. Go ahead and figure out the tasks that you need to do to make that vacation happen, and block off time now throughout the year to make all of that happen, so that you don't get to, you know, 4 weeks before your vacation or 3 weeks before your vacation, and you're trying to figure out, what am I going to do with my kids? Where am I going to put the dogs? Who's going to check our mail? You have a roadmap throughout the year of things to remind you to take care of, so that when the time comes for your vacation, it's all done and you are calm and carefree.
That's it. You've already thought about it, and now it's safely there in the calendar, and you just have to execute when the time comes.
Yep, exactly.
Yes. I also love that the plan in I feel like vacation time. Now, I suppose I could be planning for something, you know, I could suppose I could be planning work trips, but for the most part, you're planning this vacation time. So I kind of love that you're doing this personal plan first, right? Taking the time for you before you're putting in all of the work activities, the business activities, the other activities, because those are the things that usually light us up throughout the year. And I keep hearing statistics this month about people that are losing all of this paid time off or haven't taken time, right? As I listen to all these other podcasts, and I am, you know, in my mind thinking, this is not going to be me. This is not going to be our listeners. Yep. We are going to take our time. We are going to take time for ourselves and make sure that we have that quality time with our families. And we're going to get all of that before we just let all those other responsibilities overtake us.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. And it makes it a little more official, right? If you let your boss know in January, hey, I'm taking these vacations throughout the year, it also kind of holds your foot to the fire too, a little bit of now I do have to take these vacations because I said I was going to.
Yep. Got to be prepared for it. I'm ready to go. Totally. So I want to move back a little bit. So I love that you were talking about, okay, this is what I do annually, but to look at other than saying I'm going to Hawaii in November, right? Other than doing that, me saying that I'm going to do some sort of very specific project in November feels really far away, right? It feels far. And so you said, okay, my next set of planning really then pulls in and it is about that next quarter and maybe even that next month or next couple of weeks. So tell me more about that.
Yeah. So I look at the holistic calendar, right? Of what do I want to accomplish? Do I have certain seasonalities either in my corporate job or in my business? So for example, you know, in my business, I like to plan my business kind of pushes, or if I'm doing special workshops or anything like that, to be the opposite of when I know I have a corporate job rush. Mm-hmm. So for example, in my corporate job, March and April of 2024 are madness. Like just we're going to get through it, but it is madness in March and April for my corporate job. It'll be good madness. It'll be really fun madness, but I know it's going to be madness. And so I know not to plan any kind of masterclass or any kind of big business launch or push or new lead magnet or anything like that. Nothing in probably the whole first 4 months of the year, right? But I also know in my corporate job that June and July are pretty slow. And that's also a really important time for moms for back to school. So I will probably have some type of back to school workshop or series next July. If I already know that, and that's kind of part of my annual plan, I can look at that and say, okay, if I know I want to host a workshop in July, I probably need to start promoting a few weeks in advance. In order to promote a few weeks in advance, I probably need to have X, Y, and Z assets and creative things for Instagram. And I probably need to book a few speaking engagements leading up to that. I probably need to write a couple of I need to write a couple of guest blog posts for different outlets and things like that. So I can start to kind of reverse engineer what that goal is for that quarter and plan out those things leading up to it, right? So that's what I mean by I look at things on a quarterly and a monthly basis is I'll look at what's coming up from that big picture and I'll go ahead and start to plug in where I can for that quarter. And then on a monthly basis, I will do the same thing. I'll say, okay, from a quarterly basis, here's everything I know I needed to get done. Let me start plugging that into certain months. And let me see where I can fit that in based on this other bigger picture that I have of non-negotiable obligations that I can't move. And so I just start plugging things in and I do that on a weekly basis from the monthly plan.
This is so aligned in what we teach in our Supermom Society. We do exactly what you said, right? We look at that next quarter, but we're not like getting into the nitty-gritty plan of that quarter. We're just saying what's coming and maybe even a little further out if we know something really big's coming. Like you said, you've got a giant work responsibility, right? And then we're taking that month and we're actually planning it. We're saying, okay, what do I need to do this month to make that happen so that we're not either getting to a point where we've got so much to do that we're overwhelmed and we can't make it happen, right? We don't want to not feel successful in the plans that we've made. We also want to get to enjoy the things that we have on our plan, whether that is a weight loss goal or a business goal or a personal goal or, you know, a health goal or any of the things. We want to get to enjoy that as we're working toward it, right? And as we're getting there, and not have it be a complete slog. And we finally get there and we're like, what was that even worth? This was terrible. You know, I spent every minute stressed out about it, and this wasn't fun at all. Whereas like you said, if I chip off 3 feet of, you know, of ice every single week, then I feel like, oh, this was fun. This is great. Versus being like, I can't do it. Or I don't see the path forward because I can't get far enough. Yeah.
Right. Right. And I think with that of planning, when you are going to do things, it's also important to be cognizant of planning when you aren't going to do things. So that example of my March and April, I will probably be very much a status quo serving my current students in my business life, because I know that I will need to ramp up my corporate job timing or time commitments. And after that, we'll need to be a lot of time with family because I have a lot of travel during that time. And so I know that probably March and April, the primary focus is going to be serving my current students and dedicating all of my time that I do have for my business on that specific thing, not trying to grow, not trying to, you know, develop new content or new trainings, nothing like that. And I think that's really important for people when they're looking at their annual plan or their quarterly plan to be very cognizant of that. It's not always about what can you do when. It's also about when to know not to do anything.
Yeah. When to make those decisions not to, and getting to be okay with that, right?
Yeah.
Being perfectly fine with the fact that business growth is going to just stay where it is, right? That the intention is not to go crazy there. And then also knowing that the family connection is going to be higher during some other periods than that period specifically, right? To me, that is work-life balance. It is the sometimes getting pulled really far into one side and then other times getting pulled really far into the other side and being okay with it and being able to step back and see that whole picture and know that you have balance because in the midst of your March, you probably are not quote feeling work-life balance, but overall, because the plan is that family gets more time during certain times, work gets more time during certain times, and business gets more time during certain times, it feels like balance overall.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. 100%.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Okay. So we've kind of looked at our year and our goals that we've set. We have planned out, you know, we've looked at the next quarter. And then now we're kind of, it sounds like we're into the sort of routine now of looking at the month, looking at the next week. Any tips with that, with sort of maintaining that routine, especially maybe when something goes awry and it's not, you didn't really hit the goal that you wanted to hit. And you started off real good in January, but maybe you're rocking and rolling into February and it's not feeling like you maybe are on the path.
Yeah. So I think, you know, I kind of have this motto that I tell all of my students, and that is that structure creates flexibility. So if you have that structure in place of managing your time really well and really intentionally, and you get into that situation where maybe you had a January goal and then suddenly your house is struck with flu, you know, that'll wipe us moms out for a solid 3 weeks because not only do the kids have it, but then your husband has it and then you get it. So it's a whole domino
effect. The gift that keeps on giving.
Right, exactly. So let's say that that happens. Well, if you've already created the structure around your life to be able to manage your time well, it makes it so much easier to have the flexibility to just move that structure. So if, for example, if in January I have a big goal in my life to get something done and I can tell that it's not getting done, like maybe somebody does get sick or something pops up in my corporate job or something just in life just happens, then I can very easily say, okay, well, the structure's created. I know all of the steps. They're all lined out for me. I know what I need to do. I'm just going to move this to February. I'm going to shift this to February. I will still accomplish this goal. And it's so much easier for me to move it because I already know the plan for it. But it's, you know, sometimes women can say, I want to lose 20 pounds by March or something. And then they get to February and they're like, I don't understand why this hasn't happened. But they also didn't necessarily lay out a concrete plan that they can just pick up and move to the next month or to, you know, 3 months from then. Maybe that would be a better time. So it's really having that structure built into your life that's going to create and breed the flexibility that you need to feel good about shifting and pivoting if something does come up.
Yeah, I think that's so important. And being able to get back, it makes everything so much easier to get back to when things go awry, because that is, we talk about this all the time, is that the plan is never going to be perfect. You will never get executed perfectly. Or, I mean, at least like maybe 1% of the time does the plan go exactly as you planned. It's the fact that you have the plan that gives you that ability to go back to it, that it gets you back to the intentions that you had, back to the feeling that you want to be, you know, feeling for that year. It allows you to go back to it. When you have no plan at all, then like you kind of don't know what to do, right? Then you don't even know how you got to where you are, and you certainly don't know how to get where you're going. So I love that. Laura, I want to ask you questions that we love to ask all of our guests.
Yes, let's do
and
it.
And the first is, I know we just asked you this not long ago, but we're going to ask you again. When do you feel?
I might have different answers.
You might. We feel like a supermom differently every day. That's those supermom moments, they change. So when do you feel most like a supermom?
I would say right now in this season, I feel like a supermom when I am tucking Harper into bed and she just looks up at me and she's like, Mom, you're my best. She doesn't tell me what I'm the best of. She just says I'm her best. And I think that that is one of the sweetest and cutest things. And so in that moment, I know that even if my house is a mess, if the dishes aren't done, if I didn't get that project done, if I'm about to walk back out to finishing some emails in a new email sequence, whatever it is that's waiting for me on the other side of her door, she knows that I'm her best. And that to me, just, it makes me feel really good that she has that certainty that I'm her best.
Harper and I are kindred spirits because I tell my children they are my best. You're my best. And
really?
I do. And I love it so much. So cute. Oh,
that's so funny.
Laura, what is one small step busy moms can do today if they'd like to get started?
I'm going to be a little controversial, but I will explain why. So my controversial advice that I will give to busy moms is to stop using to-do lists.
Oh, hot take.
I will tell you. Yeah, I know. It's a little controversial, but I will tell you what I mean by that. Sometimes women can make the mistake of living based off of a to-do list, right? So they'll have a notebook and a pen, or they'll have notes in their phone, or they'll have post-its, or they'll have a mixture of all of those things. And that's how they live their life. They'll wake up and they'll say, okay, what is on my list that I can get done today? And they're asking themselves in the moment, what do I need to do next? Okay, I have this marked off. What do I need to do next? Instead of living by a to-do list, give every single item on that list a dedicated date and time that you're going to do it. Even if you know the probability of moving it is high, put it on your calendar. Instead of living by a list of just ambiguous things that you need to do, put them on your calendar, block off that time. Even if you move it, it's still accounted for. And then you can get that mental load of a to-do list out of your head and into your calendar, and your stress is going to decrease. You're going to feel better. You're going to be able to move a lot calmer throughout your days because it's not living in your head.
Ladies, if you have heard me say this and you did not believe that this was the way, then you have now heard it from Laura. This is the way. This is the way to not feel overwhelmed every single day. Love it so much. And a great way to start your year if you're not already doing that. Your one small step is so easy, and it's the way to do it. I love it. Laura, tell us where we can find you online.
Yeah, so I would love to connect with everyone on Instagram. My Instagram handle is its.laura.davis. I love checking messages and connecting with people there. I love talking to people just about motherhood and life. And if you're a working mom, about balancing things. And that to me is just my favorite place to be. I also, Time Management Academy has a website, www.tmacourse.com, where you can learn more about Time Management Academy. But ultimately, I like connecting with other women on Instagram and just being able to build those relationships.
Perfect. I love it so much. Thank you. Thank you for being here.
Yeah. Thanks so much for having me, Lori.
Y'all, didn't I tell you these episodes were going to be fire? If you loved this and you want to hear another episode, tune in tomorrow. Yes, you do not have to wait a whole week. Every day this week, we're coming back live with you to share how to plan your best year ever. Thanks for listening to the Secrets of Supermom show. It doesn't have to end here. Head over to secretsofsupermom.com and take the quiz to find out your personalized supermom superpower. Or if you want to hang out in the next best thing to real life, join me at Secrets of Supermom on Facebook or Instagram. Big hug, y'all.